Good morning to you. How you doing? It's Tuesday morning already. It's just after 9:30 in the AM here in Salford in Greater Manchester. And I'm Richie Allen, and this is a look through the newspapers, isn't it? That we do every Monday to Thursday here on YouTube. If you're just tuning or looking at this for the first time, not tuning, it's Monday to Thursday in the AM, not the radio show, but a live stream looking through the UK's newspapers, front pages, and some of the stories inside as well. So are you in fine fettle this morning? Missed the old morning here in Salford. Pretty grim about sums it up, really. But there you are. I suppose this is the time of year, isn't it? Thanks to those of you logging on and making your presence known on the live chat. Good morning to Nathan Maverick of the Sex Pistols Experience. Get in there. Top man. How you doing, Nathan? And to Matt in Western Massachusetts. Thanks for the support, Matt. I really appreciate that. Thanks a million. And to Q1, who's in Donegal, Dún an All, in God's country, in Ireland. I will, in a few minutes, after we look through the papers, mention a few names there and read a few comments as we go along. A lot of stuff this morning, though, and I want to get it done by about 20 past 10. This, if I can, because there's a lot to do today. Got a really good radio show lined up later on. I'll tell you more about that a bit later on as well. All right. Front pages then. Front pages of papers. Now, there's a lot of discussion this morning about England's European Championship qualifying football match with Bulgaria in Sofia last night. At least I think it was in Sofia. I didn't watch it. It's not often, or it's not always the case that the games take place in the nation's capitals. These days, you do see games moved around countries to accommodate fans, but I think it was in Sofia, was it? Talk briefly about it. I'm very interested in this, not about the football side of it. Well, I do like my football, of course, but I'm aware that many, or maybe most of my listeners, viewers, whatever you want to call you, don't watch sport or don't take any interest in it or don't participate in it. That's fair enough. So it's just a reaction to what went on in Sofia last night, if it was in Sofia. But anyway, we'll get into that, I suppose, pretty much straight away, because the tabloids are full of it today. Football's night of shame, says the Daily Mirror this morning. England stand tall against the racists. Heroes threaten walk-off after suffering horrific abuse from Bulgarian thugs. So what happened? I didn't watch the game now. So the information I've gleaned about the events last night, I've gleaned from this morning's newspapers and the television news programmes this morning as well. Well, it seems that a handful of guys kitted out in black gear made monkey chants or monkey noises. Yeah. And they gave the old Heil Hitler, without saying Heil Hitler, apparently. They gave the old Nazi salute, which is this kind of thing. And it led to one or two of the England players and the England manager, Gareth Southgate, making reference to this or making comments about it to the match officials. And the match was paused a couple of times. And it led to, at one stage, the captain of the Bulgarian team crossing the pitch to remonstrate with the home fans about their behaviour. And that's pretty much what everybody's talking about this morning. England won the game 6-0, incidentally. That's in the Mirror. I'll bring you a couple of I'll bring you a clip in a minute of the England manager, a guy called Greg Clark from the FA, and a football player called Tyrone Mings, who's a black football player. That's the Mirror today. It is an interesting story. It's not one of those bread and circus stories. It's important because it's, again, it kind of speaks to a recurring theme that comes up often on the Richie Allen radio show. There's the Sun there. Bulgar off you, racists. Nazis target three lions. That's in the Sun. Okay. The Star. Bulgar off. Pretty much the same pun. Shame of footy thugs. Racist chants and Nazi salutes halt England game. That isn't true, by the way. That isn't true. That's fake news. Racist chants and Nazi salutes did not halt the England game. The England manager and one or two of the England players halted the game. The yobs in the stand didn't halt the game, but we'll come back to that in a second. That's in the Star. Like I said, the tabloid's going with it. I think the eye paper goes with something different. So let's have a look at the post-match reaction to this. Here's a clip of the England manager, a Football Association official, and Tyrone Mings, who made... Did he make his debut for England last night? I think he might have made his debut. Courtesy of our friends at The Guardian.
When I've talked to the players at the end, I think they still feel that, you know, they've been able to make a statement.
On to the next step and come off the pitch.
What a disappointing night. I mean, it's...
All right, that didn't go very well, did it? Because the sound was down in it. I realised that a bit too late. Let's try that again. Car crash stuff, I told you before. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Let's try it again.
When I've talked to the players at the end, I think they still feel that, you know, they've been able to make a statement. But they also, naturally, because of they want to be recognised for their football, they were playing so well that they didn't want to leave the pitch at that moment as well. I'm sure that will have been part of their thinking. So I'm incredibly proud of all of the players and all of the staff. I don't think, of course, we could be criticised for not going far enough, but I think we've made a huge statement and... frankly, we were in an impossible situation to get it right to the satisfaction of everybody.
We made a collective decision to continue the game. We thought it was important that we'd heard it, that the protocols had been followed, and if it happened again, we would have then perhaps moved on to the next step and come off the pitch.
What a disappointing night. I mean, it's probably one of the most appalling nights I've seen in football. Bulgaria is full of decent people and decent football fans, and a few people have embarrassed their country. And I would not try to take the moral high ground because we're still fighting racism in our country. But I do think UEFA have to take time to collect all the facts and then decide how to act appropriately.
Right. The Guardian there, thanks for that. Yeah, I had the sound turned up before I played it. I must have inadvertently muted it there. Apologies for that. So that was the post-match reaction there. Twice the game was stopped. Fans were warned over the loudspeaker about racist behaviour, the Nazi salutes, the monkey chants. It started in the 28th minute. England were winning the game 2-0. Stadium announcement said, we'll suspend the game if you don't stop it, or we'll stop the game if you don't stop it. It stopped. The game, the chants stopped, but the game had to be postponed. The game had to be halted again. In the 43rd minute, before it restarted after discussions between the referee and the England manager, the England team went on to win the game 6-0. So this is everywhere this morning. Everywhere you look, there are articles about this. And I want to give you a flavour a little flavour there of some of the articles. This is The Guardian. A guy called Barney Roney writing in The Guardian. Vile and disturbing Sophia spectacle will live long in sporting infamy. He mocks the Bulgarian journalists. He has a go at the other Bulgarian fans who weren't participating in it, but who were grinning and giving a thumbs down as the game was in danger of being postponed. What the bloody hell is going on here? Every talk show this morning is full of this. Former players, black players, white players, talking about the scourge of racism, and this was terrible and it was devastating. And I even saw some clips last night of former Republic of Ireland international Roy Keane, who would have been a hero of mine when he was playing for Manchester United, saying that he was sick to his stomach to witness those scenes. What the hell is going on, really? What's really going on? What's really going on? I'll tell you what's interesting about it. Tell you what's interesting about it as far as I'm concerned. In the build-up to this football match particularly, because England have played two football qualifying matches away from home in Europe, and this second one came with plenty of warnings beforehand that racist abuse is expected. Racist abuse was pretty much guaranteed. And we had a number of England players, people like Tammy Abraham, who plays for Chelsea, saying that they would walk off the football pitch and wouldn't play if they were to hear anything untoward during the game. So all of this was kind of... there's a bit of preemptive, I don't know, predictive programming to all of this. You know, all of these advance warnings. We were going to get racism. We were going to get Nazi salutes. We were going to get monkey chants. And then we did, surprise, surprise. 50 or so guys in the crowd did it. And the players and the referee temporarily halted the game. And now you have Twitter and Facebook and the TV and radio shows full of people talking about how devastating it is, how horrible it is, how racism is endemic in our society, and it's dreadful and something must be done. And you've got a lot of these very young, successful men, black men, young men, good-looking men, talented men, very successful men, wealthy men, talking about how injurious and how devastating it is to have to cope with this stuff. And I'm thinking, really? I wonder how much of it is genuine, by the way. How much of these idiots who turned up and gave this Nazi salute nonsense last night, how much of it is genuine? How much of it is deep-rooted, deep-seated racism and hatred for black people? Or how much of it, again, is preemptive, predictive programming where guys are like, well, we'll just give you what you want. You know, you're telling us that you're going to see racism and vulgar behaviour at a football match. Let's just give you what you want. I don't know. I'm going to do. I'm going to drop it. I was planning on spending the next 5 or 6 minutes talking about this, and I have some clips, and I'm just going to drop it. I am. I'm going to move on because I don't have time for it. I might get into it later on in the radio show briefly. I have no time for this. I have no time for very successful, intelligent, wealthy, good-looking young black men telling me that this could in some way hurt them or prevent them from doing their job or could adversely impact their quality of life. I have no time for that. That to me is ludicrous. It's ludicrous. It is ludicrous that you would want to stop a football game. That you would want to stop a football game and deprive 99.9% of the paying audience a chance to watch the game because of the notion that what these guys are doing is in some way harmful to some very, again, I'm going to say it again, wealthy, talented, good-looking, smart young men. It's madness to me. But there's a much bigger thing going on here, you know? And the holding image for the video, this is what's going on. This is it. if ever an image crystallised what I'm trying to explain, this summed it up here. There, there, young black man, it's okay. I'm here to protect you. There, there, young black man, don't worry about it. I'm here to ease your pain. But the young black man, Marcus Rashford, just played a blinder of a football match. He'd scored and was instrumental in other goals in a performance of annihilation of the Bulgarian national team. He's being substituted here. The England manager should have a big smile on his face. He should be giving him the old handshake. Good job, Marcus. Good job. But no, this is a fucking tidal wave of virtue signalling. Vomit inducing. Roy Keane was sick to his stomach. This is more sickening here, this image here. There, 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 you'll be okay. I've just annihilated Bulgaria. I couldn't give less of a fuck about a few guys dressed in black giving it the old Sieg Heil and giving it the old monkey chance. I couldn't give a shit, really. I've earned £120,000 in the last 2 days for kicking a ball. If I was Marcus Rashford and Tyrone Mings, I'd be running over to where the guys are giving the monkey chance. And I'd be giving it. I'd be at this. Well, how'd you like that, huh? Huh? That's 5-0, just in case you can't read the fucking scoreboard. That's 5-0 there, eh? Eh? No, no, no. We're all offended and injured and devastated and downtrodden and oppressed by what we heard. But you're not. You won the game 6-0. You go back to a mansion in Cheshire and you allow yourself to be photographed like that photographed with your David fucking Brent goon-esque manager, Gareth Southgate. Virtue signalling, oh, the poor black guy has to be protected. It's crazy stuff, this. It's fucking crazy where this all ends, where this all leads, huh? Few lunatics are making monkey chants. Let's stop a game of football and give them what they want. By the way, isn't it amazing that national television executives have been told by the police in every country in Europe in the last 10 years that if somebody invades the pitch, whether they are naked or not, if it's some drunk guy who runs on waving his scarf like this, you are to immediately cut away from that. Okay, sports fans will know this. This is a given now. If somebody invades the pitch, no matter for what reason, the cameras, the directors are instructed to immediately go to an establishing shot above the stadium or back to the studio so that we don't see the guy running onto the pitch. But if it's guys giving all of that, right, you're to show it. Pathos. Pathos. Okay? This is crazy shit, this. And every virtue signaller in England today is on social media and on the media talking about how disgraceful it is. Bulgaria should be kicked out. We shouldn't have to put up with this. And every black person who virtue signals, not every black person, is on social media as well. Hashtag everyday racism. We have to put up with this every day. No, you fucking don't. There is no racism in this country anymore. Racism doesn't exist. It's a figment of the imagination of people implanted in their fucking brains by the dystopian lunatics who run this whole fucking shit show. They want you to believe it. The same as they want you to believe anti-Semitism is rampant. It isn't. Nor do I believe that the lunatics on the far right are correct when they say that anti-white racism is rampant either. It isn't. It's all an illusion. It's pure divide and conquer. Minorities in this country have never had it so good. Positive discrimination is fucking everywhere. Everywhere. It's a great time to be Asian or to be black. Unless you live in certain parts of London. Fantastic time. You're more likely to get a job than you ever were. But you have all this nonsense. How could a football player with all that he's got going for him be hurt or as I said, injured in any way by the... I said I wouldn't go on about it. It's crazy shit, you know. It really is crazy and sinister and spooky. This is gaslighting. These fans were told repeatedly before the game, you Eastern Europeans, you're a bunch of fucking racists. and we're coming over, us virtuous, the virtuous English football team, and if you make monkey chance, we're going to walk off the pitch. They never shut up about it for the last 2 weeks. So a few goons went, well, fuck it, we'll give you. You seem to want that. That's what we'll give you. I'm hurt by that. I shouldn't have to put up with that. Fuck off. Play the game. Take your wages. Go home. Give it back to them. When you score the fifth or sixth goal, go over to them like this. There you fucking go. How'd you like that, you dickhead, eh? You go back to your fucking two-bedroom apartment in your fucking tower block. I'll go back to my six-bedroom mansion in Cheshire. How'd you like them apples? No, I need to be protected from it. I'm sick of it now, folks. I am sick of it. I'm sick to death of it, really. And my opinion, I would imagine, would be shared by a lot of people, but nobody in the media today will have the balls to express what I just expressed there. It's not racism. It's not racism at all. It's idiocy. It's foolish behaviour. And it is not representative of the whole. It's anomalous. It's a few goons. So either ask them to leave or just fucking get on with it. But stop the game. Fuck the England fans who made the, I don't know what it is, 1,000-mile round trip or 2,000-mile round trip to Bulgaria. Fuck them, right? Because you're hurt. Jesus, they threw bananas at John Barnes. They threatened to fucking kill John Barnes. What did John Barnes do? He scored goals and laughed at them. Same with Cyril Regis. Same with Laurie Cunningham. Same with Remy Moses. Same with Clive Best. Fucking score goals and I'll give you a bit. How'd you like that, huh? Huh? Christ, when men were men, huh? What are men now? A bunch of makeup wearing, man bag fucking wearing, legs shaven fucking parodies of what men used to be. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Parodies. When were men last? When did we last have men, eh? I saw an interview given by Tyrone Mings on Sky Sports News last night. And he sounded like a man. Because he said it didn't bother him. He said it's wrong, he said, Tyrone Mings. But he said it didn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. You get on with the game. And I thought, there's a man. There's the man. But I bet you that interview he did with Sky Sports News will never see the fucking light of day again. Because they don't want black men saying that. They don't want black guys going, I couldn't give a fucking shit, really. Come on. Yeah, they're dickheads. All right, I understand why people want to stop the game and all that, but the best thing to do is just play the game and ignore them. Right. But it's all very disturbing. What else is in the papers? Johnson's wish list, Queen's speech on the iPaper. So that yesterday, talked about it yesterday. Metro, crown to the wire. Lovely, crown to the wire. Boom, boom. What's on the Express? We have Boris, I'll get this amazing country moving again. Of course he won't, and of course he has no intentions of it. Boris Johnson, that's the front page of the Express. Let's get rid of that. The Times, Queen's speech sets out PM's election manifesto, of course, in the Times. Also a story in there about how we were all happier in Victorian times, apparently. Don't know how they know that, but anyway, that's the claim. That's the claim. The Telegraph, Johnson edges closer to Brexit deal, does he? Does he? Well, about an hour ago, Michel Barnier, the European Union's chief Brexit negotiator, he's been speaking about an hour ago. Here he is, 8:30. Brexit deal still possible this week, he says. He's returned to intense discussions. Barnier, but a lot of his European Union counterparts and one or two European Union prime ministers have said that we're still a long way from a deal. We'll have to wait and see. The way it's supposed to go is there is a Brussels summit Thursday and Friday. It's all supposed to be agreed then, right, and brought back to the House of Commons for a vote on Saturday. We're not going anywhere. Don't think or imagine it. That's the Telegraph. What else have we got? The Times, Financial Times even. Facebook fears digital currency delay as regulatory hurdles loom. Have you been following that? Facebook and its digital currency. If you have, I've not been following it too closely. Remember, I'm probably the only independent media content creator who never endorsed Bitcoin from day one. I couldn't believe that so many of my peers in the independent media could endorse Bitcoin. Fuckwits. Total fuckwits. Yes, let's go cashless. Bitcoin, yes, yes. Wow. Wow, wonderful. Blockchain, wow. No, no, no fucking no. Nothing hastens the cashless society reality more than fucking Bitcoin and all the other digital currencies. That's what they want. Of course. As we move to a social crediting system, which began in China and will end up in fucking Roscommon in Ireland, that's where it'll be. Punitive measures against people who dissent. How easy it is then when there's no cash will render your bank account inaccessible, is what we'll do. And that goes for your fucking digital currencies as well. Bitcoin, give me a break, people, you know. Jesus Christ. I like to think some of the people listening to me and watching me, you know, they're a bit further down the road than I am. And then I get emails going, I can't believe you don't talk about Bitcoin. Fuck off. Are you stupid or what? 15 million reasons to think again, Barclays. That's how many times its savers made cash withdrawals from post office in a year. So why is the bank banning them? Why do you think? Why do you think? Why do you think bank branches are disappearing from villages and towns and rural parts of England? Why do you think in cities bank branches are increasingly fucking empty and it's just six or seven machines and no people? Why do you think? Wake up and smell the fucking coffee, right? Cash is on the way out. Do you want a bit of race baiting? Well, you'll never get it from me because races don't matter to me. They don't matter to me. I'm no saint. I'm no nice guy. Race doesn't matter. I couldn't give a shit what you are, what you think you are, what you really are. I don't care. As long as you're nice. As long as you're decent. My fucking door is open to you. My table is yours to sit at. You can fucking eat from my table. You can drink from my cup. I don't care what you are. But race is everywhere. Everywhere. Mental health and race is everywhere now. Why? Look at this fucking story here. This is mental, this. Have a look at this. If you've been following this about the Booker Prize. The jury awarded the Booker Prize jointly to two authors, even though they were explicitly told they can't do that. You're not to fucking do it. You're to award one winner. Now, it's not unprecedented. A couple of times in the last 30 years, but not for a long time, juries have split the award in two. But they've been told not to. Explicitly. Don't do that again. It's a precious thing. Give it to one book and one author. But this year, the jury, despite being told repeatedly by the event organisers, they went and gave it to two people anyway. And those are the two authors there. And this fucking stinks, to be honest. And I've read none of the books. And I couldn't give a shit, to be honest. I know Atwood's book is supposed to be speaking to some of the themes that we explore in the radio show and all of that. Fair enough, the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale, but I couldn't be arsed, really. I couldn't be arsed reading it. Give me a bit of John Grisham. John Grisham's got a new book out today. Thank Christ for that. Because when you spend 16 hours a fucking day looking at newspapers, listening to news programmes and producing two shows a day, I don't want to fucking read dystopian novels. At the end of the day, I want a good old yarn. John Grisham, new book out today, The Guardians, legal thrillers. We gotta love it. So here's the story. Bernardine Evaristo and Margaret Atwood have been jointly given the Booker Prize. Told in no uncertain terms by the organisers. The jury were told in no uncertain terms, give it to one winner. They split it anyway. Between two books, Margaret Atwood's The Testaments and Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other. So the black lady, her book is called Girl, Woman, Other. Haven't read it now. Might be brilliant. Not trying to impugn the woman or her skills. I'm sure she's a very good author. And just because I'm having a go at this story, I might download the book and read it. I might get it online. I might buy it off of... I read online, you see, these days, sadly. They've actively broken the rules. We didn't accommodate the jury. The jury actively chose to reject the rules. They staged a sit-in in the judging room. We want one winner. They said, no, you're going to have two. Why? Why did they do that? Well, turns out that they did it because they are woke. They're woke. Because Bernadine's book, and it might be good, I don't know. Her book is a collection of 12 interlinked stories about black women across the generations. Now, Atwood's book is a sequel to The Handmaid's Tale. Atwood's book is the best-selling hardback book of the year thus far, selling nearly 200,000 copies since it was released last month. Bernadine's book has sold 3,976 copies. She's the first British woman of colour to win the prize. The book is about black women across the generations. See, if I was Bernadine Evaristo, I wouldn't be too happy with that. I'd be saying, well, the jury decided. It's time for a bit of virtue signalling. It's never been given to a black woman of colour. She's written this book with 12 stories about black women across the generations. Nobody and their grandmother has bought the fucking book, but let's give her the joint prize with the woman who sold nearly 200,000 copies. They were told not to do it, they did it anyway. That's woke in 2019. And I have no idea. Her book could be brilliant. I have no idea. I won't read it probably. All joking aside, I'm certainly not going to read Margaret Atwood's book. I couldn't give a shite. But this is where we are now. Race. Positive discrimination. Divide and conquer. And of course it divides people. Some might say, ironically, well, it looks like you're divided. No, no. Give people awards on their merits. Don't give a woman an award for a book that hasn't sold 4,000 copies. Because it's a book about black women. And because a black woman hasn't received the award before. Don't do that. Don't do it. Doesn't do her any good. Doesn't do black writers any good. It's not right. Fuck it, you know. You're going to love this one in the Times. Nurses may get more powers to prescribe drugs. Well, well, well. Do you think the government came up with that one by themselves? Do you think the health ministry decided, hey, I have a good idea. Let's give nurses and, by the way, pharmacists more powers, more responsibility to prescribe. Do you think that came from the health ministry over a roundtable discussion someday? Like fuck it did. Like fuck it did. It came from the World Health Organization and its revolving door executive committee of people who used to work for Big Pharma. Hey, I know how we'll sell more fucking medicine. Let's get more people prescribing. Why not? Let's get the postmistress at the end of the fucking street in the Royal Mail shop. At the end of Liverpool Street there, around the corner. Give her the rights to prescribe medicine. Why not? Let's give head teachers the rights to prescribe medicine. Fuck it. Fuck it. Let's get everybody. Let's just give people in the post 200 prescriptions, blank fucking prescriptions every month, and let them just prescribe for themselves whatever they want. There you are. Why not? Drugs, 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 drugs. Are you taking drugs, are you? Yeah, you are. Yeah, you're probably not taking enough. Have some more. Why not? Insane world we inhabit. Fucking insane. Gets madder by the day. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, did you, Richie? I didn't, but that racism nonsense in Bulgaria properly fucking pissed me off. It really did. The gaslighting of people. You are all racist. No, a few dickheads turned up to a match because you told them they would. You told them repeatedly over the last few weeks that they would be racist in the game. So they went, yeah, all right then. Why not? And then you highlighted it. You put cameras on them. And you put your arms around the poor black players and consoled them. I mean, if I was Marcus Rashford last night, I'd have thought, I've had a good fucking night here. Scored a goal, made a load of money. I'm going back to Manchester United. However shit Manchester United are right now. Yes, that fucking team there. However shit we are, still the biggest football club in the world. I'm going back to the biggest football club in the world. Ever the richer, on a fucking plane with a seat about 20 feet wide. First class. But I need to be consoled because some guy went, ooh, to me. The flu jab is going to be made from dog kidney cells. Why not? It'll be more effective, apparently. Research from America. Yeah. Because, you see, the flu jab is just not effective. And they keep making excuses for it. Well, we keep making these jabs. We're sorry. Epidemic of the flu last year among people, this is true, in England who had received the flu jab. Epidemic. The excuse from the health officials. Well, the flu keeps mutating. That flu just keeps mutating. Now we've gotten some dog kidney cells. We'll stick that in there with all the other fucking shit that we put into vaccines, all the other crap. Did you hear John last night from Bolton? Did you hear John on the phone in last night? Had a bit of a disagreement with his wife. His loving wife, by the way. They're good. About the fucking HPV jab for his 12-year-old son. Didn't want to give it. His wife had a little brush with cancer. Thank God, nothing worse. Understandably a bit nervous about cancer. She said, ah, John, maybe you should have it. John went, well, there's no fucking need for it. Next thing, they get a phone call. How you doing, John? Such and such a woman from the health, whatever the fuck, from the hospital. Just want to reassure you. No problem, says John. Hey, listen, what's in the vaccine? I don't know, she said. Don't you, says John? Well, I do. Here are the ingredients. Who makes it? I don't know, she said to John. Well, it's Merck, says John. Not exactly a brilliant track record in telling the truth about the harm, potential harm caused by their medicines. Oh, final question, says John. How often do boys develop complications from the human papillomavirus? I don't know, says the person who was charged with the responsibility of ringing him and asking him to think twice about not giving the vaccine to his boy. Lunatic a fucking asylum we live in. That's what separates the Irish from every other race of the world. We insert swear words in the middle of words. Lunatic a fucking asylum. Nobody does that better than us. Fucking hell. When you disagree with people now, on the grounds of conscience, when you disagree with people now, because you have a moral, religious, human aversion to something they would have you do, you are now, from now and forevermore, going to be described as hateful. Somebody wants to do something in officialdom, governments, teachers, they want to do something. You have a moral objection to it and you articulate that. Express yourself as a human being. Forevermore, you will be declared to be racist or hateful. Hateful. So says a head teacher in the Midlands. Parents have been expressing for some months now real reservations about their children being exposed to sex education. Aged 4, 5, 6, but it's 5, right? Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about masturbation. Let's talk about touching yourselves. Some parents are like, you what now? Come again? No pun intended. What the fuck was that? No, they're 5. They shouldn't be hearing that. They've tried to make out that it's a Asian protest, that it's mostly Muslims. It isn't. It's a fucking lie. This is what has united Muslims and Christians in Birmingham and in the Midlands, because they found common ground, despite the fact they've always had common ground, because their beliefs all come from Father Abraham. Right? The fucking evil trinity of Islam, Judaism and Christianity. I hope I've triggered some of you. You all come from Abraham. But yeah, they don't like what's been done to their children, but that makes you somebody who is inciting hatred. And that's the way it's going to be from now on in. When the state has decreed that something shall be so, well, you better fucking put up with it and get with the program, because if you don't, well, you're going to be labelled. These are scary labels for people, because most of us, not me, because I'll never get a job again. Nobody will ever employ me ever again. And that's the truth. I don't say that for effect. Most of us might need, in the future, to get a new job. Well, good luck with that, if you've expressed your opinion publicly on a public forum about this madness. You are hateful. You are inciting hatred. No, I'm not. I really don't care how people live their lives. Say the parents. We don't care that we live amongst gay and lesbian people. Say the parents. And of course we know this to be true. Because those parents are not going around drawing red crosses on the doors of the gay people or shouting at the gay people as the gay people are going about their business. They're not doing that. These people have gotten on with their fucking lives. And accepted that we live amongst the gays. We live amongst the gays. But these people have spoken up. Don't want you talking about this stuff to my child. And by this stuff we don't mean homosexuality. We mean teaching them about sex. Don't tell them what's normal. Don't tell them heterosexuality is normal. Don't tell them homosexuality is normal. Don't tell them there's 100 fucking genders. Tell them nothing. Leave them alone. Get them out rolling around in that fucking mud. Building things, playing games. Teach them how to write and to read and teach them, well, fuck all else. Let them get on with it. They're children. But you're a hate monger. Now, if you stand up against this lunacy, this is where we are. What else have we got? Speaking about getting jobs and having to purge your social media history, which you do, by the way, I keep telling you this, in a few years' time, decisions about you made by your employer will be assisted by artificial intelligence. It's a brilliant piece in the Telegraph by Hannah Boland. Artificial intelligence created by an Oxford University spin-out could be used by UK firms to predict if employees are about to resign. The artificial intelligence won't just predict if you're about to resign. It will also begin to tell your employers a lot more about you than you would like your employers to ever know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hannah, that's only the tip of the iceberg, love. Yeah. Boss will log on and the artificial intelligence will speak to him or her, Stan. And we'll say, yeah, Richie Allen there, we think Richie might be, that'll be a fucking artificial intelligence entity. But that's only the beginning of it. What was Richie doing last night? Artificial intelligence entity will give him a whole fucking rundown. Well, he watched Dublin Murders on BBC One last night with Caroline, the future Mrs. Allen. At one stage, they had an argument over whether they should switch it off or not. The future Mrs. Allen said it's the greatest load of shit she'd ever seen on telly in her life. And Richie went, well, there's fuck all else on, love. Just leave it on till 10. We're going to bed at 10 anyway, Caroline. And the jazz woman disgustedly shook her tail and walked out of the room. Artificial intelligence will tell your boss all of that. He went to the fridge, did Richie. And he took out a beer at 9:30. Did he? How do you know that? Oh, exalted AI1. And the artificial intelligence will tell your boss, well, because I'm connected to his smart fridge, his smart meter, and his hub. Yes! Oh, it's a bit far-fetched now, Richie. Is it? Is it really far-fetched? It's in the Telegraph today. Yeah. Emu Cat says, AI Siri will hear you bitching about your job and grass you up. Yes. Of course, it's how it's meant to be. It's how it's meant to be. Right, 16 minutes past 10. I've ranted on long enough. I'll read a couple of messages there. Nathan, thanks so much for the Super Chat donation. I guess the Sex Pistols experience is back in Manchester on November 23rd. If it is, mate, nothing is getting in the way. I'm going to be there. I can't wait to see the band. You see me wearing I've got the T-shirt. I'm all ready to go. Brilliant stuff. Look, thanks for all the messages. I'm sorry I didn't read so many of them today. I'll remedy that tomorrow. There was a lot to get into there. Hi to Scotty Bolton. Scotty, I'm going to refrain from trolling you, Scotty. Scotty says, this the radio show, ? And then he says, I'm just messing. Thanks, Scotty. I'm glad you were messing. I was about to go off on one there. Right, so that's it. I'll be with you at 5 for the Richie Adam radio show. And I've got Caroline Ann Stevens and I've got Frances Leader coming on, two excellent ladies. Caroline making her debut on the show. Frances has been on before, but not for a while. Brilliant. We're going to be talking about a wide range of subjects with those ladies. Of course, separately, one in one hour, one in the second hour. I'll have a news rundown for you and all the rest of it. I'm tired in the mornings. I hope I made myself understood when I ranted about the racism earlier on. Sometimes I just get lost in my own argument, but I think I was fairly clear about why it's happening. Black men all over the country, don't be fucking triggered. Do not be triggered by a big white baldy fucking gammon saying there is no racism. There isn't any anymore. All you've got is history. Constantly dragged up. And you have pathetic examples like these goons in Bulgaria. It's never been a better time to be a minority. Ever. And I don't care about it. I'm not affected by it. Not in my job. Right? But there's never been a better time. Positive discrimination is everywhere. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Don't be anybody's victim. See you at 5 then. Right. Okay. 5 o'clock it is. What have we got for you? I'm going to put this up for a change. See you at 5 then. Bye for now.